Going into the last game of the season, Jason Kelce. Jason, how are you on this 2016 new year?
I'm all right.
Yeah. All right, you're good. It's the last game. But yeah. It shouldn't be the last game. That's the biggest problem. Jason, when you look back at what's happened this week and you look at Chip Kelly, not the head coach anymore, mm-hmm. where do you think it went wrong?
It's tough to say. Obviously, there are a lot of things that led to I think the downfall of this season. And I don't know that I really should be airing these out, really, to tell you the truth. But I think the biggest thing to me is I've been through two seasons where you've seen a collapse or a downfall of some teams. Mm-hmm. And in both off seasons, there was tremendous change. And by change, I mean through free agency. And the reason I hesitate saying that is because we're probably going to have some new free agents this year. We're probably going to sign some new guys this year. And you can make great acquisitions to free agency. I'm not saying that you can't, but I think on offense, especially when you have so much change, so many new guys, I think I've realized through these two instances that trust and chemistry are more important than I think I ever really understood. And it's hard to develop that within one off season. And I think when you have guys who are retained on teams and guys who stay with teams for years and years and years, and you bring in one or two guys to free agency every year, I think that tends to keep everyone together and welcome those new people even better. And if I'm being quite honest, I don't think I welcome the new pieces well enough as one of the guys being retained. I think that never really took place from the players' aspect of it. And I think I've seen this twice now, and I think it's really hard to build championship caliber teams and winning teams through free agency.
When you talk about chemistry and you practice or you train, as Chip would call it, mm-hmm. There's a lot of camp and there's OTAs and all those other things. Can't you develop, or let's put it this way, let me ask you the question a different way. Why don't you think that chemistry was developed, you know, when it started at the beginning with the OTAs and then training camp?
Well, I think that was not the issue. The chemistry as a teammate was not the issue, I don't think. I think there's plenty of time for practicing. There's always OTAs. There's always training camp. We get so many reps in practice because we practice at such a tempo where you're getting plenty of plays. But I'm a firm. This game is at the end of the day, it's a game about trust. I've never played another sport or another competition where you have to rely on somebody else so much. And at the end of the day, it's not just about being a teammate. It's about having interpersonal connections with the other people who are on the field with you. And it goes deeper than being out during OTAs to somebody. It goes deeper than taking a practice trip with somebody. This is something that when you develop when you're with somebody for years, or in a locker room has been together, and you have the core group of guys who have been through only the Philadelphia Eagles, all they know is this city, all they play for is this city. I think that tends to build a locker room and to build a culture, which is what one of Chip's favorite words were, that lends itself to chemistry and lends itself to people giving of each other and only knowing the Philadelphia Eagles. And that is really hard to build within one offseason, and that's you can't just do that at practice.
Do you think it would have been built if there was another scene in the second season? Do you think, or do you just think?
I think if we retain the players that we have now, I mean, there's going to be offseason change this year, but I think that can be done. And I think I'm going to do my best job this offseason of trying to get guys together, trying to make this team a team again. Because right now, this is the dream team too. a collection of guys. All of a sudden, you signed the NFL's leading rusher, Sam Bradford, one of the best quarterbacks around that you could get through a trade. We got two new starting guards. Another new running back, a brand new receiver through the draft. There's so much change, and I think that me as one of the offensive guys being retained, I didn't do a good enough job of getting us together and creating those bonds and those deals of and making everybody feel like a team.
It almost sounds like being on the offensive side of the ball and key positions. Certainly quarterback, more than anything else, the quarterback. Do you think that bond or that chemistry was not developed the way you had it with Nick Foles?
It's tough to say, and I don't know that it was just me, and I don't think it was actually me. I think Sam and I had a great relationship all season long, but I think that when you're not as connected with everybody, when all you haven't been through is the Philadelphia Eagles, when you've been elsewhere, yada yada yada, it's not just Sam. It's the moment anything starts going wrong in a game, it's not as tight. It's not the ability to overcome adversity, to relying on each other and going out there and doing it again and again and again, and understanding that it's just going to happen. It's just going to get fixed as long as you do your job and trust the other people that they're going to get their job done. And I think that's one of the reasons why Sam started playing better. Not to mention he started feeling more comfortable in the offense, more comfortable with his legs and everything getting healthier. But that's the ability to overcome adversity and mistakes when you have those connections with people, I think become easier.
Do you think it was a problem when DeMarco Murray, I think they made too big a deal of him talking to Jeffrey Lurie on a flight, and I don't even know what's said on a flight, and I don't know even how deep it went, and it was a conversation that was overblown, but nonetheless, he was not happy. Everybody knew he wasn't happy with getting the carries he wanted. Did that create a problem for the other guys on the offense when one player really just was unhappy with his personal situation?
I'm going to say no. Even if that did take place, even if that's the way that DeMarco felt, I thought that he was very professional in the fact that he never told any of us that that's the way he felt. And I think that that's huge. If he went to the owner and talked to the owner, that's, first of all, none of my business. And second of all, if that did take place, he still came to work every single day with the attitude that he was a teammate and he was going to do whatever he could in whatever role the team was giving him.
So now you're going to go into another year. There's going to be another change, and that's going to be the coach. Do you think it will take time for that to help get this team back to being a playoff team?
I don't know. I think I've seen coaches turn things around within a year. And to be honest, I think it's almost like with a new coach, you give everybody is starting over. So now this could create everyone coming together even more. Because I think when you add people, Chip preaches the culture, and then when you add a bunch of new pieces in, everybody's going to interpret it their own way. And if it's not explained the same way it was the first 2 years, or it's not done the same way, guys are kind of going to interpret what their own meaning of what culture is. And I think with a new coach, he's going to set the precedents right away. So hopefully there'll be a clear direction of where this team's trying to go. Hopefully this will bring guys together, and hopefully we can finally become a team again.
Jason, it sounds like you weren't on board with some of the things that Chip Kelly did. Am I right in that, or am I incorrect in that?
Oh, absolutely. I think that there are a lot of things that Chip Kelly did that was very, very good. And, I think he's going to go on to have success outside of the Philadelphia Eagles. And that doesn't mean, I think Jeffrey Lurie, obviously, in the front office that put a lot of thought in this decision. And I think that we're going to be fine moving forward. as a team. But I think everybody can certainly say that there were things that Chip Kelly did that were great. And I think that if he can adapt his offense to a throwing quarterback, or even better, if he can get that dual threat quarterback, his offense is going to be successful wherever he goes, I think.
So do you think his offense didn't adapt to the players he had?
I think it tried to. I think it really did, and I think it got closer and closer and closer. And I think that we were masked a little bit by our own success on offense, and especially in the preseason. And then, quite frankly, the players just didn't do a great job of executing. And, I think that we did a better job as the season went along of adapting to the players. But at the end of the day, especially the last half of the season, the players just too many mistakes, too many turnovers, drop balls, false starts, bad snaps. It was just a recipe all season long for mistakes.
You know, I don't understand how that can happen. How can you have that many pre-snap penalties?
Yeah, I know. I think I have a good reason why, but there's no point in airing that out.
it wasn't all the change. Did it have anything to do with all the new players, or just that there was other factors?
No. I think that there was a first of all, there's a lack of concentration on the players aspect whenever you have penalties. But I think that there were some things with I don't really want to talk about that out here.
Okay. Well, that's fine. How was your relationship with Chip Kelly?
Great. And I think that that's one of the reasons I think when I read some of the quotes, it's kind of a little bit, everybody had different relationships with Chip. And I think, obviously, I had been here with him since the start in Philadelphia. And, he never had a problem coming to me or asking me questions about what I was doing, or he didn't have a problem with me going to him. But I think that there were some things set in place that, like, obviously, guys have been saying all week, I guess, that they didn't feel it that way. So, my relationship was great with Jim.
You know, and some of the comments, whether they were people stood in front of them or people hid behind anonymous quotes, meaning players, said he was not a communicator. But I listened to Malcolm Jenkins yesterday, and I don't know if you heard any of it. Your locker's next to his. And he said, if you wanted to talk to Chip, you could walk in his office and talk to him, and he would communicate if that's what you wanted to do. So where does this lack of communication come from? Did you ever feel that?
No, I never felt that. And I think that some guys maybe didn't work comfortable enough with them, maybe, and they didn't ever approach him about it. So I don't know. I'm not really sure where that is, but I always felt that I could always go and talk to Chip.
You know, I love the comments when media people like to say, well, there's a problem. He lost the locker room. I don't even understand what that means. Does that mean two players? Does that mean 10 players? Does that mean every? You understand. And I'm part of that media, which sometimes I shake my head when I see these comments, and I've said, I don't think he lost the locker room. I don't know what it means. Do you believe that there were a lot of players, or more than a few players, that just didn't believe in anything that Chip did?
No, I don't think anybody didn't believe in everything Chip did. I mean, there are pieces that I think people, that very few people might have disagreed with, but I think that that's, their voices weren't known in the locker room, I guess. They weren't the prevalent ones. It wasn't something that I think was the primary deal. I don't think that that was it. I think that the locker room was fine. It was about as good as it could be, honestly, through a 6-9 season. I think it's very hard to maintain everybody focused and everybody on the same page when you're losing so many games. It's just hard. And I thought Chip and the rest of the staff did about as good of a job of keeping everybody together through that you could. I think that the other issues that I've stated earlier with having so much change and everything, those were the primary ones.
Was Chip different? Chip to the media, I mean, I laughed at some of the things he did in news conferences. Some people were offended by it, and I understand he was a little harsh at times, and I think Chip was a little different and maybe a little strange. But when you guys had your meetings with Chip, did he just seem like, I mean, just a head coach, and he wasn't strange? I mean, what was your feel for Chip as a person and a coach when he held you guys in those meetings?
Just a guy that valued your opinion, a guy that valued what you thought was wrong or what you thought would fix things that weren't working right. He always made me, and he always made, I think, the majority of the players, especially in leadership roles, feel like they were a valued person of the organization, somebody that you could always talk to, somebody that that he trusted.
You know, practices, then you always hear something when a coach gets fired or when you lose. And I guess they're both connected eventually. Well, the practices. And Lane Johnson, and I think Malcolm Jenkins said it best, Lane reached the papers too much is what his comment was. Did guys have problems with those practices?
I think whenever a guy is going through a grueling season or even a difficult season, so if you're not playing the way you think you should, or you're tired because you're playing in the NFL and that's what happens throughout the season, I think that they look for excuses sometimes. And I think that, as you get older, you continually get more tired in the later half of the season. So I think Lane's kind of what he said and everything about the practices and whatnot. You know, he came in here as a rookie, and now he's into his third year. And he had some little nagging injuries throughout. And he's, you know, his legs are tired, and, you know, it's like, oh, it must be the way we're practicing. It's like, no, it's week 15 of an NFL season. It doesn't matter how we practice, you're going to be tired. And I don't think guys realize that. I think, quite frankly, we scaled back practice quite a bit to try and keep guys fresh. So I don't know that I agree with the whole practice portion of guys saying that.
And when a coach gets fired, it's because the team obviously is not winning. But ultimately, I think the players... I think there's good coaches and there's bad coaches, and I think you said it and I believe it. I think Chip's a good coach. I think there's probably some things that he'll learn from this and change. But do the players feel a responsibility, or how much responsibility do they feel when their head coach gets fired?
There's responsibility for sure. I think obviously whenever you play this bad, especially offensively, it's a combination. You have, whenever you do this poorly, this many mistakes, it's never just the coaches, it's never just the players, it's both. And the reality of the fact is that we go out there against the Redskins, I mean, I don't know if this is the case at all, but if we go out there against the Redskins, we don't make as many mistakes on offense, and we put up some points, and we win that game, this situation could be a lot different. So you always feel some level of accountability whenever a coach is fired. I think that if you're understanding the situation at all, that's the way you feel.
So, you know, all in all, when you wrap up Sunday, and I don't know how a player, when you get in the game, you don't think it's, well, this game doesn't mean anything. But do you feel that way? I mean, that's the way I think players feel. You just, once you start the game, you're just playing the game, right?
Yeah, I think that when you're playing a game that obviously has no playoff implications, leading up to the week, and especially with the week that we've had with the coach being fired and everything, it's a different feel during the week in practice and everything like that. And I think Sherm is doing an outstanding job for us right now of keeping everybody focused, keeping the game plan in front of everybody, and making sure that everybody knows what we're doing. But once you put the pads on and once you put the helmet on Sunday, you can't help but go out there and play hard. And that doesn't you know, it's obviously different throughout the week, the preparation and everything, but I think Sherman's been doing a good job of keeping that on track.
It's a question which I think a player has one answer, but is this team, when you go through the offseason, do you think this team is a contending team going into next year?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it depends on if I like Sam a lot, honestly. I think we can retain Sam, whoever we bring in as an offensive coordinator. I think that that's the number one position that you have to be successful in offense in this league. And that never really transpired this season, obviously. But as that knee gets healthier and everything, that would be huge if we can get him back to free agency.
All right. But it's kind of a – the players can't – you can't add any input into that, right? I mean, it's just you express yourself as you did right here, but it's a team that's got to get that done. Yes?
Well, yes, and then also, I mean, it goes both ways. I mean, look at what happened with Jeremy Macklin last year. You know, I think free agency is always a time where you don't know what's going to happen. And it's – you know, we'll see what happens. You know, I think that if he's not back, you know, we got to have – I mean, Mark Sanchez is still a great quarterback, so if we can maintain him, we can still have success on offense. There's no doubt about that. And then, obviously, we've got to make some other changes to try and fix some of the holes. But I really don't think it's that far away in terms of personnel. You know, I think if we get another coach who does a good job, I think that we can turn this around pretty quickly.
You know, I mentioned this earlier. I think one of the biggest problems or mistakes was not retaining Jeremy Macklin. Agree or disagree?
I think that was, looking back, that was one of the biggest things that went wrong probably this offseason. And I think that they tried to. I don't think it was like they just let him walk. Everything that I've been told is that they tried up until the end to get him back. He just, at the end, he just chose Kansas City.
Yeah, I think Chip Kelly's going to be successful somewhere else. And obviously, from what I think you said, you think that's going to happen as well.
Oh, yeah. I think that this won't be the last time we've heard of Chip Kelly, that's for sure.
All right, Jason, good luck on Sunday. You know what? I've always appreciated the fact that you stand up. You take accountability, which I think is something that doesn't always happen in professional sports, and you're honest, and I've always appreciated that. I'll see you over the weekend.
All right. Take it easy, Aaron.
All right. Take care, Jason. Jason Kelce, who is extremely honest. And when you think about the things he said, obviously, if you compare it to when they added all those free agents before, you know, you look at that, you say, oh, they added some nice pieces. Well, but they subtracted some nice pieces as well. All right, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about what Jason said. 888-729-9494.
Little Caesars premium Detroit-style deep dish pizza with more cheese and pepperoni is our most premium pizza experience. And now it's even more premium. Just call 1-855-TALK-DEEP and we'll compliment you while you eat it. This premium treatment isn't just for eccentric billionaires. It's for you with your shiny hair and very kind eyes. That one's on us. Pick up our premium deep dish pizza for just $8 and call 1-855-TALK-DEEP. Hot and ready 4 to 8 or order anytime, you cool rebel. Only at Little Caesars.
Pizza, pizza.
At participating locations plus tax.